Talk Live, 231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Dale.
And Mark. And
you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that is freetalklive.com.
It's offering passionate about liberty. These 12-week-long seminars are in locations from Chicago, Boston, Berkeley, Philadelphia, D.C., and more. Go to libertarianseminars.com. The deadline is March the 31st. It's libertarianseminars.com.
All right, as we continue with your phone calls still to come here, we'll talk about how Canadian health care, the socialist system, may actually have contributed to the death of that famous actress lady that died out on the ski slopes. We'll get to that, but first, your calls. Mary is on the line in Missouri. Mary, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi. I didn't realize you guys was talking about that. I just tuned in. I respect you guys' views on the situation, and I just had to bury my grandson that was 18 days old today.
Oh, my God. Sorry to hear that.
And that's why I was calling about. I respect you guys' views on this, but what can they do to change the health care system? My daughter was on Medicaid, and they just took that baby too early. They rushed her into labor. You know, the baby was only 5 pounds something when he arrived. Mm. And
they made the decision, the government bureaucrats essentially made the decision to put her into labor?
You know, that's the only thing I can think of, because my mom and I both was in there. And we told that doctor, it's too soon. I mean, when I delivered her, sure, it was normal for a woman to go 1 or 2 weeks over. You know, it wasn't like we're going to sit there and try to induce labor and force the baby to come out. And she went at 6 o'clock on a Thursday night, and they rushed her to the to have a C-section because they said the baby was in distress. And I'm sorry, I just think it was all because she was on Medicaid, and I'm so sad about this. And I want to take action, but I don't know what to do. And I thought maybe you or your listeners could help me find out what I need to do to help. This never happens again to somebody.
It's really awful. You know, it seems to me that our medical system has come to this point. I've noticed that, you know, my wife was pregnant a year ago, and she has lots of friends that are pregnant. She's much more interested in this pregnancy thing now that she's had a baby. And, you know, a lot of her friends that go to regular doctors are having this happen. It seems like, you know, the doctors, the AMA, the, you know, the government-supported union out there have this thing about not letting babies go over. And I don't know what it is. My wife was late, and she had a midwife, and so, you know, she was able to bring the baby to term. He's happy and healthy, but you know, and this is awful. I don't know that that's the reason that the baby you know, passed away, and it's really tragic. But you know, these doctors are rushing these ladies into labor.
Well, when he was born, he was only 5 pounds and 2 ounces.
That's light.
And when they took him to the pediatrician, the nurse and the pediatrician both said, he's a preemie. Why wasn't he remanded to the hospital, you know, like an incubator? And my mom said she didn't know what to say.
I just don't know what to say either. I mean, it's a stunning story. It's horrific. And what you're asking, what you could possibly do about it?
Yes. There's, you know, I'm a little bit intelligent, and I have a college education, which I don't know how much that means, but I want to know how to rally to, I know that you guys aren't big into government, I understand that. Well, if I have to pick it out front of somebody's office or something, this is ridiculous that our medical system is like that. Poor people get poor medical care? No, that shouldn't like it should be.
Well, soon everybody's going to get poor medical care because they're planning on putting the government 100% in charge of medical care, which is only going to make things worse. It's going to
be awful. I know that. See, when you're on Medicaid, you're with the government. You know, I understand that this is horrible. I don't know. I wish maybe some of your listeners could tell me how to petition, to rally, what I need to do. I mean, I'm willing to do anything. I just don't
anybody
know where
can call
to start.
And respond here. I don't know if there are I imagine there are probably Medicare attorneys out there. There are likely lawyers that will specialize in the Medicare system, and they could take a look at this for you probably and give you some idea, because if you're looking to get something out of the system, I don't know if you're looking for financial
No. I just want it to change. I don't care about
Now you're talking about a tall order, like a financial financial settlement would have been possible, but now you're talking about changing the system itself.
I wonder if you have an impact. Ian, can I ask you something? I listen to you guys all the time at work.
Thank you.
Don't you say on your show that, I know change is a big deal, but doesn't somebody have to take the first step out there
Absolutely.
To make the change?
I think a settlement has an impact on things like that. When it hits them in the pocketbook, that's when they are more inclined to make smart long-term decisions instead of the easy short-term decision.
Yeah, I'm with Dale on that.
Because to change the Medicare system, you would have to essentially lobby Congress, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd have to go through the same old process everybody else.
I wouldn't bother with that. I can't even imagine. Like,
right. It's beyond your reach. I mean, hiring an attorney is expensive enough, but going and lobbying Congress to change these rules so this doesn't happen in the future, I mean, it's not going to necessarily prevent it from happening. People may still make, you know, the doctors may still make these decisions with or without Medicare as a factor. I don't know. Again, we're not sure exactly how Medicare was a factor. Maybe they encourage people to, maybe Medicare mandates that they have the babies on time.
Or that they didn't put the child in an incubator because
I wonder what costs are incurred by not having it
on time. Well, can I tell you something? I know for a fact I've lived through this before. Back a long time ago, before I had a good job in insurance, private insurance, I broke my ankle. And, I mean, I shattered it. And they had to put pins and plates on it. And they operated the next day. I went there like at 7 o'clock and they operated on it. The next day they shoved me out the door and they wouldn't even let me take my gown with me, my hospital gown. Now, when I broke my hip and I had private insurance, oh, my gosh. Oh, I was in there 4 days. Oh, do you want more, you know, more days in here? I was like, no, I want to go home. I had a private nurse and a private therapist come in every day. I mean, you're just treated so different. Hmm. And I know, at this point, I just don't know what to do. I guess I'm still just grieving.
That's definitely still happening, yeah.
I would just like to do something. I mean, I'm the type of person that I don't want to sit around and cry and grieve. I want to do something. If I could move up there, I would. Do you guys, I mean, could you get me a job as a computer tech?
As a computer tech? I don't know.
Yeah.
There are a lot of technical industry jobs up here in New Hampshire. Of course,
oh, really?
a lot of free staters are also IT-related people. But,
oh, wow.
But the New Hampshire economy is a lot of tech sector jobs, from what I understand, especially down in the Nashua area. And so, you know, obviously we can't get you jobs. We're a radio show host.
It's not our gig.
But you can go to freestateproject.org, and they have a whole section of their website dedicated, in their forum, dedicated to posting jobs that are available and kind of collecting the various different job websites so people can get up here. Because I agree that the Free State Project's probably the best chance you've got. I mean, if you want to lobby Congress, you know, that's going to cost a whole lot of money and probably isn't going to result in anything significant changing, even if anything does ever change. And you're talking about dedicating the rest of your life to trying to change a few rules of the Medicare system, because I can guarantee you, going in and lobbying Congress to abolish Medicare and abolish government involvement in health care isn't likely going to be too well received, because there are a lot of government bureaucrats that are, you know, making money off of that system. So I think that secession is probably the best way to at least restore good health care to one place, and that could be here in New Hampshire, because if we can cut our ties to the federal government, then all of those regulations go away and people can innovate in health care again.
And there's no doubt that all of the subsidization that the government is doing of Medicare right now, of Medicaid and Medicare and the military medical care and all that is making healthcare higher for everyone else. And all the regulations that they impose on it, that raises costs massively and opens up all kinds of avenues for people to sue their doctors for trivial mistakes and things like that, and all that's making the healthcare costs higher for everyone else.
Well, who knows?
Raising insurance rates.
I'm going to go online and read more about your Free State Project, and who knows, you might see me up there as an IT tech somewhere. And
I hope to do that.
If I could just get out and rally with you guys and this and that, I'm just more than happy to do that, because.
Well, that would be great, Mary.
Look into that suit, Mary. I think that's in the short term what you can do now.
Some sort of Medicare attorney that specializes in that. That's something you want to look into. But, yeah, freestateproject.org.
Keep up the fight.
Thank you. I don't like to consider it a fight, though. 800-259-9231. We're just approaching the inevitable voluntary society. We won't have to fight too hard. It's Free Talk Live.
Government officials like to think they know better than the rest of us. They tell us what we can buy and when we can buy it, everything from guns and booze to cold medicine and cigarettes. Now they've gone even farther. Cities across the country are now trying to tax and ban bottled water. That's right. Simple, no alcohol, no caffeine, no calorie bottled water. They say it's wasteful and buying it is, quote, stupid. But who are they to decide? If politicians decide you shouldn't even be able to buy bottled water, what's next? Visit us at enjoybottledwater.org and sign the petition to keep the nanny state out of our water bottles.
Do you suffer from aches and pains in your knees, arms, wrists, or elbows? Is it difficult to get out of bed in the morning because of joint stiffness? Have you been looking for a safe, natural alternative to help ease your pain? If so, you need to visit solartherm.ca. Solartherm, the pain care you wear, is a patented ceramic fiber support technology that holds in and reflects your own body heat, soothing those sore areas. Solartherm is extremely light and comfortable to wear and increases blood flow to the affected areas without the use of toxic chemicals. Imagine being able to finally relieve the aches and pains in your elbows, knees, wrists, back, and more. So forget about messy creams that have an unpleasant smell. Try Solartherm, the pain care you wear. Call them today at 1-877-747-6664. That's 1-877-747-6664. Or visit them online at solartherm.ca. That's solar, T-H-E-R-M, solartherm.ca.
Gun Day, Gun Day, Gun Day. 3 days to exercise your Second Amendment rights for only $10 per person April 3rd, 4th, and 5th at Knob Creek Gun Range. The world's largest machine gun shooting military gun show is fun for the whole family, with machine guns and flamethrowers for rent, helicopter rides, and over 800 tables showcasing handguns, shotguns, rifles, and more. Opens at 9 a.m. Call 502-922-4457 or visit knobcreekrange.com. That's K-N-O-B, creekrange.com.
This year, millions of people will lose electricity. Ice storms, earthquakes, flooding, or hurricanes could leave you without power for days. Anyone that's ever been in a blackout knows that the first thing you need is a flashlight. That's why you need the Packlight. The Packlight is powered by a 9-volt battery and lasts up to 1,200 hours. It's so small, it fits right in your pocket and glows in the dark, making it easy to find when you need it most. One Florida customer says,
"My Packlight has lasted through 4 hurricanes in 2 years, over 30 days without electricity, and I'm still using the same battery."
The Packlight comes with a 25-year warranty, and prices start at just $12.99. It's time for you to be prepared with a Packlight. Visit us at 9voltlight.com. That's 9voltlight.com. Or call us today, toll-free, at 877-715-4448. That's 877-715-4448. 4448.
Everyone knows that omega-3 should be an essential part of our daily diet. With so many different methods of consumption, how do you choose a simple yet effective way to get your daily intake? The friendly, knowledgeable folks at North American Nutrition have the answer. Nature's Gem Premium Omega-3. Unlike other flaxseed, our golden flax is grown on our farm in northern Minnesota, providing cooler temperatures and longer summer hours, producing the highest quality premium golden flaxseed around. In addition, we selectively harvest and sort flax seeds by size and weight, keeping only the best seeds that can produce the highest abundance of omega-3. The result is a delicious, nutty, buttery flavor. Nature's Gem Golden Flax is pure. There is nothing added and nothing taken away and non-GMO. We offer a 100% money-back guarantee. Order Nature's Gem Premium Golden Flax today at goldenflax.com, goldenflax.com, or call 800-387-5516. That's 800-387-5516. Free shipping included.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You dial in, bring up whatever you want. Toll-free number 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features we give away, so enjoy those, including the Shrine of Female Listeners, the dozens of ladies who've taken the time to send us their validated photo. To prove they listen to the show, head over to shrine.freetalklive.com and see what it's all about. It's free, shrine.freetalklive.com.
The bureaucrats undermine your right to bear arms. Now they're taxing your bottled water. That's right, water. Log on to enjoybottledwater.org and tell them enough is enough. Sign the petition fighting taxes and regulations on bottled water. After all, if they can tax water, what will they do next? It's enjoybottledwater.org, and I would encourage you to go sign that petition. CEI is the organization is putting it on, and they've been very good to us. Please sign it.
So I want to continue here on this healthcare topic, since I got a story about the actress lady that died recently. Natasha Richardson was real big in the news over the past, I think it was on the last week when it went down. She essentially had a skiing accident. But just a few more thoughts on our last caller. And if anybody does have any ideas for Mary in Missouri, who just had a tragic situation involving an 18-day-old baby passing away after being delivered what arguably was too early. And she points out that it possibly was Medicare and their rules and regulations that mandated that this baby be delivered early. And of course, she wants to do something about it. But what can you do besides bring a suit against them or go and supplicate yourself and beg in front of the politicos in Washington, D.C. to get them to somehow change the program to where they won't do that in the future? I mean, the lawsuit thing is certainly a more viable option. The begging and trying to change the system is a very expensive option. And she pointed out in the very end of her call that, keep up the fight is what she said. And I just wanted to expound on that just a little bit. I feel like if we fight, we're going to lose. I think that in order to achieve the voluntary society, we basically just have to act like it's like we're expecting it to happen. We have to fake it till we make it, sort of, if you will. And I think that one of the ways we can do that is by gathering people together into the same place and having those people just start living free. And if those people start living free, then other people will see them living free and they'll want to join them. And then when the government people who aren't used to this whole living free thing decide to come after some of the people that are trying to live free, then the others will surround them and make life very difficult for those government people, but I don't see any of that as fighting the government.
No, the behemoth is too big to fight. You can't take it on head on. I think the behemoth really is us. We are participating. We're obeying when we're told to obey, and we're filing our taxes every year, and we're signing up for selective service, and we're going and paying our car registration every year, and we're going and doing our driver's license every year, and when we're told to pay a ticket, we do it, and we basically just go along with it, and it's the revenue collection. They loot us consistently. It's the best racket that you can imagine. I mean,
the greatest scam ever.
What they've done is they've perfected slavery and made us go right along with it. They don't have to crack the whip hardly ever. Every now and then, just kind of set an example. But for the most part, we all just go along with it. We're all cogs in the machine. And the moment we just stop, like the cog, it just stops. It jams up the whole thing. And it doesn't take very many people to do that. I think you're exactly right. We can't fight it. We don't go attack it. We just stop. We just stop obeying and stop being cogs in the machine. And I don't think it can keep working. It can't. It takes such massive compliance. It takes near 100% compliance.
Yeah, I think 1%
keep going the way it is.
I think 1% would be enough. I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think we live in a place where there are 25,000 people. So 1% is 250 people. That's not an unreasonable amount of people to gather together. I mean, we're already, I would say, over 20 people here in Keene.
Oh, I'm looking at a place like Keene on this scale. I don't even think it would take 1%.
Probably,
I don't. I mean, that's, you know,
probably
that would
right.
definitely be quite an impact. But
right.
I don't think
we don't know.
That.
We've never done this before, right? So I mean, we can't say for sure. But I mean, either way, any amount of non-cooperation and non-participation in their system and laughing at them and making fun of their system and just doing everything you possibly can to live life as free as you can and not abiding by as many of their rules as you can avoid abiding by. When it gets to be popularized, when enough people start to do it and people start paying attention, they're going to start thinking about things in ways they've never thought of them before. And what that can lead to, I think, is pretty exciting. I think when you use the term fight, I think that actually entails either violence, which I'm certainly not in favor of, or using the system, going within their rules, like in a boxing ring, there are certain rules you have to play by, but you're fighting the opponent. And if you're using their system, then you are essentially engaging in a conflict like activity.
And it's one where they make the rules as they go, and they're the referees,
right.
And
it's
their game, and it
sure
is hopeless trying to fight that game.
So I think that we need to embrace more than fight, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, and kill them with kindness, so to speak. I told you I was at this court thing today, which was just incredibly dull. I had to leave because I had an appointment, thank goodness. But they were talking about moving courts around here in New Hampshire, and Judge Burke was there, who is the judge here in the Keene, New Hampshire area. He's the guy that yelled at me when I was in their court on the couch situation when my tenants
were in jail,
and he threw me in jail for 93 days, and he was not in his costume today. He was dressed up as any normal guy would be dressed up in a meeting like this. He was wearing a suit coat and a tie, and
he likely wears that to work every day and then puts the dress on
in his chamber. Yeah. Sure. So I approached old Judge Burke, and I stuck out my hand. I shook his hand, and I essentially invited him out to lunch.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
So he said I'd have to talk to the clerk about that, though. So I don't know if it's actually going to end up happening.
Have your people talk to my people,
Ian. That's basically what it was. He was not nasty. He was not in his judge role. He was just appearing as Edward Burke. And so he was kind of had a different demeanor about him. And he seemed relatively friendly toward the idea. Is it going to make any drastic changes having a conversation with him over lunch? I don't know. But it can't hurt, right?
I think it's a great idea.
And talk to these people. I think that the discussions we've had with the bureaucrats here in Keene, I think, have been pretty positive. I don't, obviously the system hasn't broken down based on having chats over coffee with these folks. But
I think the few people that have been non-participatory have already made massive ripples in this community. So that's why I say, 1% here seems massive.
Right, and I think there's some value in communicating with these folks, because that's what we have to do. We have to bring people on board. We have to bring regular people on board, and ideally, some of these government people should be introduced to the ideas of liberty and given the opportunity to understand them and accept them and come to embrace them as their own.
And I think we should be good neighbors. Very public. We should be making an effort to be good neighbors. That's what we're all talking about when we're talking about a voluntary society. I mean, you yourself said, why doesn't the lady who had a problem with your couch come over and politely ask you and say, look, it bothers me. I think it makes the neighborhood look bad or whatever. Could you please move it? And you probably would have moved it in a heartbeat.
That's what I promised to do.
And you said as much. If she would just come and politely ask me, I'll move it. That's all you asked. And what's happened is we're bad neighbors because of government. And I think we should start putting our money where our mouth is and actually try to be good neighbors.
Yeah.
We want other Keene residents to like us being here.
Be better neighbors than the government is to people. Government's not very nice. They're threatening people. They're hurting people. They're throwing innocent people in prison cells. We're not doing any of that. And we're not blowing
things up. We're about to start doing litter pickups and some volunteer work.
The community kitchen and things like that. And that's great news. 800-259-9231. So we've got to set the example of what we want society to be like. More coming up. You can bring up whatever you want. This is Free Talk Live.
Every 22 seconds, a violent crime is committed. Are you concerned about your personal safety? Why wait for something bad to happen when you can take action now? Be smart. Be safe. Trust pepper spray instead of your luck. PepperSpray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all your non-lethal self-defense supplies. PepperSpray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web, including mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. PepperSpray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. PepperSpray.com is proud to feature Saber brand Pink Ribbon Pepper Spray. For every Saber Pink Ribbon Pepper Spray sold, a donation will be made to the National Breast Cancer Foundation. Enter the word pepper in the coupon box and you'll receive 10% off your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to PepperSpray.com. That's PepperSpray.com or call 1-800-908-9988. Call today.
Worried about the side effects from prescription drugs? Tired of searching for an effective, safe, natural alternative you can trust? Join more than 300,000 people worldwide who trust in Native Remedies. Our market-leading natural remedies are manufactured using the highest quality ingredients in FDA-registered facilities. We only use whole herbs and never use chemicals, giving you superior effectiveness and safety without side effects. With over 250 herbal and homeopathic remedies, you'll find products for your entire family, even your pets. Address issues like concentration, stress, mood, sleep, pregnancy, memory, joint support, digestion, cold and flu, sexual performance, and much more. And all Native Remedies products come with a one-year unconditional money-back guarantee. For a limited time, visit NoDrugsPlease.com, enter coupon code RADIO, and receive $5 off your order. Purchase two items and receive a third absolutely free. Visit NoDrugsPlease.com or call 1-877-289-1235. 1-877-289-1235 today.
What I'm about to read is not intended to scare you, but the LA Times just reported that unemployment will exceed record 1945 levels. Millions are about to find themselves out of work. Will you? Look, I say this not to scare you, but to empower and motivate you to make a choice. You can sit around waiting for the worst to happen, or you can go to IncomeAtHome45.com right now and take control of your future. IncomeAtHome45.com is adding people in record numbers. They're looking for you. They're connected to a multi-billion dollar company, and again, they're looking for you. IncomeAtHome45.com is the way real people just like you are earning life-changing money from home, even in their spare time. And I love this. They even provide you with a work-from-home personal coach to help you succeed. Quit worrying about losing your job when you can make serious money from home. And listen, Income at Home is giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. Visit IncomeAtHome45.com. That's IncomeAtHome45.com.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit AcolaBlue.com. AcolaBlue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a 5-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing 5-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Acola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Acola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Acola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free and bring up whatever you want. 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. Ian here with you.
And Dale.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com. Features free. Enjoy them on us, including updates. You get signed up, we will clue you in whenever there's something you need to know about Free Talk Live. Head over to updates.freetalklive.com. Get on the list free. That's updates.freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about privacy on the internet, when it comes to your email, privacyharbor.com offers a product that, well, it's like email. It looks and acts like email. It's new technology. Email is a very old technology in internet years, at least. Go to privacyharbor.com and sign up for a free account today, because normal email is not secure. Privacyharbor.com.
So this, we're going to continue with your phone calls. That's what the show is about. We'll talk to Ziggy in the UK across the pond. Ziggy, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Very quickly on Natasha Richardson. Before the body was cold, there was a safety Nazi on the radio here going, "If she wore a ski helmet, none of this would have happened." Yeah, well, she wore a ski helmet. Under the chaos theory, she could have caused a tornado in Kansas. But never mind about
that. Okay, I suppose.
Well, this is a hurricane triggered by butterflies' wings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, I emailed a link to Mark earlier today, and I think he was quite shocked. The Anti-Defamation League is classing tax protesters as extremists. They've got a whole page on it.
Yeah, I have the article sitting here in front of me. It really is a whole page too. It's very long, and the Anti-Defamation League, who's at the top of their website saying to stop the defamation of Jewish people to secure justice and fair treatment for all, has on their page under Extremism in America, the tax protest movement.
Probably because there are a handful of racists that have protested taxes in the past.
Like, there's over a million people protesting taxes for one reason or another. So that means, like, that's about, 300 million people in America, 1 million, that's about a third of a percent of people are extremists.
Yeah, I have no idea what the numbers are. I know that there must be Jewish racists, too.
I think that's the low end, actually.
This is following on from a list which was issued in Missouri with the Ron Paul supporters and various other groups, trying to lump all extremists in the same, you know, folder, basically.
Yep, people are protesting taxes for different reasons, too. It's not all just, like, being against tax. Some of them, it's being against the war and not wanting to pay for it, so things like that.
Yeah, I wonder if the anti-war tax protesters are actually paying now. I wonder how they feel about Obama continuing the fight there in Afghanistan, upping the troops.
He needs to take a maths test. 50,000 isn't zero, and he promised zero.
Yeah.
Promises, schmomises. Thanks,
he's
Dave.
He's president now. Screw you.
Yeah, thank you, sir. 800-259-9231. Well, that's basically what's going on with the marijuana situation. We'll cover that when we get a chance. But here's a story from the New York Post about this Natasha Richardson, apparently an actress. She had according to the Post there, her tragic death could have been prevented if her accident had occurred in America rather than in Canada. Canadian healthcare de-emphasizes widespread dissemination of technology like CT scanners and quick access to specialists like neurosurgeons. Now, when you hear them talk about how great their system is, because remember, they teach in schools in Canada that their system is wonderful, and so a lot of young people who don't get sick very often are very quick to tout, well, our system is just great. Canada's great. It's free healthcare. And you'd think, well, free? That means you've got access to all this great healthcare equipment. But it turns out that because it's the government system and they don't have any incentive to provide good healthcare, but it is
free. They only
have
to satisfy a large majority, and most people will go through their entire life without any major healthcare problem.
Right. So most people
don't know. Most people will think the system's great. They went in when they need to see a doctor and got some pills for their minor illness and their antibiotics, and they didn't have to wait that long. They got to see a generic doctor and they get their prescription that they need on a regular basis.
Or their broken bone or something like that. I mean, these are the kinds of things that your average doctor can do a good job with.
But good luck getting a neurosurgeon. Richardson died of an epidural hematoma, a bleeding artery between the skull and brain that compresses and ultimately causes fatal brain damage via pressure buildup. With prompt diagnosis by a CT scan and surgery to drain the blood, most patients survive. Could Richardson have received this care? Where it happened in Canada, rather, no. In many U.S. resorts, however, yes. Between noon and 1 p.m., Richardson sustained what appeared to be a trivial head injury while skiing at Mount Tremblant in Quebec. Within minutes, she was offered medicinal, or rather medical assistance, but declined to be seen by paramedics. But this delay is common in the early stages of epidural hematoma when patients have few symptoms, and there is reason to believe her case wasn't beyond hope at that point. She probably just seemed a little stunned after taking a fall. About 3 hours after the accident, the actress was taken to the Centre Hospitalier Laurentien in Saint Agathe des Monts, 25 miles from the resort. Hospital spokesman Alan Paquette said she was conscious upon reaching the hospital about 4 p.m. The initial paramedic assessment, travel time to the hospital, and time she spent there was nearly 2 hours, the crucial interval in this case. Survival rates for patients with epidural hematomas, conscious on arrival to a hospital, are good. Richardson's evaluation required an immediate CT scan for diagnosis, followed by either a complete removal of accumulated blood by a neurosurgeon or a procedure by a trauma surgeon or emergency physician to relieve the pressure and allow her to be transported. But the hospital in Canada is the town in Canada is of 9,000 people. Its hospital doesn't have specialized neurology or trauma services. It hasn't been reported whether the hospital has a CT scanner, but CT scanners are just less common in Canada, period, across the board. Compounding the problem, Quebec has no helicopter services to trauma centers in Montreal.
That's a real problem.
Richardson was transferred by ambulance to the Hospital du Sacré-Cœur, a trauma center 50 miles away in Montreal, a further delay of over an hour. So you're talking about a major metro. Montreal, Canada is a major metropolitan city.
Doesn't get much more major than that.
They don't have a helicopter service.
Wow.
Because she didn't arrive at a facility capable of treatment until 6 hours after the injury, in all likelihood, by that time, the pressure buildup had become fatal. The Montreal hospital could not have saved her life. Her initial refusal of medical care accounted for only part of the delay. She was still conscious when seen at a hospital, and her death might have been prevented if the hospital either had the resources to diagnose and institute temporizing therapy, or air transport had taken her quickly to Montreal. Well, what would have happened if she'd fallen and hurt herself at a U.S. ski resort? Well, it obviously depends on the location and the facts, but according to a colleague who's worked at two major Colorado ski resorts, the same distance from Denver as Mount Tremblant is from Montreal, things would have likely proceeded very differently. Assuming Richardson initially declined medical care here as well, once she did present to caregivers that she was suffering from a possible head trauma, she would have been immediately transported by air, weather permitting, and arrived in Denver in less than an hour. If this weren't possible, in both resorts, she would have been seen within 15 minutes at a local facility with CT scanning and someone who could perform temporary drainage until transfer to a neurosurgeon was possible. If she were conscious at 4 p.m., she most likely have been diagnosed and treated at about that time, receiving care unavailable at the local Canadian hospital. She might have still died or suffered brain damage, but her chances of surviving would have been much greater in the United States. American medicine is often criticized for being too specialty-oriented, with hospitals duplicating too many services like CT scanners. This argument has merit, but those criticisms ignore cases where it's better to have the resources and not need them than to need the resources and not have them. And in the case of the marketplace, which, by the way, I'd like to point out, the American healthcare system is nowhere near a free market. It's a mostly socialized system, but there is still some private care available in America, and so some level of competition does exist between the very limited amount of hospitals that we have out there. And so because the hospitals are still competing on some level, they still have the incentive to have the equipment in their hospitals that they need, especially ones around ski resorts.
And because they're not government run, they're more accountable. I mean, they aren't shielded from any sort of, like, you know, any kind of liability that would be a lot harder to impose on a government.
That's true. If you
there's that fear of fear of being sued.
If you die in the hands of the Canadian government, then none of those hospital bureaucrats are liable for what happened to you. It doesn't matter. You're just another patient on the death list.
I mean, that's at the core. That's the problem with government in general, is this lack of accountability, because they are the authority, and so there's no accountability there.
1-800-259-9231. So there's an interesting comparison between how the Natasha Richardson situation might have played out in the United States as compared to how it actually did play out, tragically, in Canada. But hey, it's free! 800-259-9231. Of course, that's a lie, too. It's not free. Everybody pays for it through taxes. Free Talk Live.
Imagine you're on trial. The charge against you, violating one of the hundreds of laws Congress passes each year. You rise in your defense and say, "Your Honor, I didn't know about this law." How will the judge respond? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org, and I think you know the answer. The judge will reply, "Ignorance of the law is no excuse." So what's the excuse for your representatives in Congress? Their ignorance is even worse. They don't even read many of the laws they pass. At DownsizeDC.org, we're proposing a simple but powerful idea, the Read the Bills Act, to force Congress to read the laws they pass. Why? Because we believe the federal government is way too big. We want to slow the politicians down. We want to reduce the size and power of the federal government, and we want them to sweat the details, just like you do. Check out DownsizeDC.org, because ignorance is no excuse, even for a congressman.
Did you know that the new energy czar wants to control how much power your electrical company allows you to have? It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Not if, but when.
Hi, Bill. I just wanted to call in and let you folks know that I got my solar backup generator hooked up and running. To tell you the truth, it's awesome. Not only was it easy to install, but it's powering my fridge, lights, TV, and shortwave radio. I now know that I'm one step closer to getting off the grid. Thanks for all your help.
This generator is solar powered, complete with battery backup, has no moving parts to wear out or break, and requires no gas. Don't wait for the Energy Czar to cut your power or raise your rates. Produce your own electricity for free. Go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Or call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system with proven and guaranteed results for over 15 years? Would you like to stop any mortgage foreclosure and have a written guarantee that would make most attorneys scream? Hi, I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My Zero Debt expert system has helped tens of thousands of people.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees, and I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, John, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
And you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors or pay a percentage of your debt. Call my experts today at 800-477-9256 and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Go to HempUSA.org, go to HempUSA.org, and ask your legislator, and ask your congressman, and ask your president, why can't we grow it here? And ask those companies that love their profits and disease, why can't we grow it here? Try our powder, seeds, and oil. Try our 5-pound sampler. And get free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org. Go to hempusa.org. And call us at 908-691-2608. Call 908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
Dial in toll-free and bring up whatever you want at 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. 800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Features are free, so enjoy those. Again, freetalklive.com. SACL CAI has a full-orbit approach to account recovery. It's really three companies in one. They do collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged-off receivables. SACL knows the way they treat your customer reflects on you. Their staff is respectful. They record every call, and they have the best equipment money can buy, so your business is handled as efficiently as possible. See their banner at freetalklive.com. It's right there at the top of the page. That's SACL CAI. 800-259-9231. So the drug raids are continuing, according to San Francisco CBS 5, 1 week after President Barack Obama's top law enforcement officials seemed to indicate the feds would no longer raid pot clubs. DEA agents busted a marijuana facility, medical marijuana facility, in San Francisco on Wednesday night. So... how many campaign promises is this guy going to keep, right? I mean, it doesn't look like very many of them. Yeah, is anybody surprised?
Not at all. I remember arguing with a guy about a war protester when we were out protesting with the war protesters in the square in Keene.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, I said, do you really think Obama's going to get us out of Iraq in any reasonable time frame? And he's like, oh, yeah, I think so. And I said, well, yeah, I don't think he is. And what are you going to, let's say he doesn't, 6 months in, a year in, 2 years in, what are you going to say? And he's like, well, generals on the ground. He has to talk to generals on the ground. And he started making excuses already. He's already making excuses for his guy. So,
yeah, he was a Barack Obama supporter, not an anti-war protester.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, of course, the medical marijuana or the marijuana decriminalization community has taken Barack Obama pretty seriously on this one. He was talking, the attorney general guy, Eric Holder, I think is his name, was talking about how they were going to stop, okay, we're going to respect states' rights and we're going to stop the raids as long as they're not violating state law, too. That was the qualifier that they put on it. All right, well, if they're violating federal law and they're not violating state law, then we're going to leave them alone. That was pretty much what they said. And, of course, as you'll see here in a moment, they are claiming that the clinic was violating state law. So, therefore, they had full carte blanche to go in there and steal all their
pot. Shouldn't the state enforce that if that's the case?
Well, that's what we'll get to. But when they made this announcement, it sounded like, yeah, this is really progressive. They're doing the right thing here. They're helping people out in California. They're backing off as they should be doing. States' rights, blah, blah, blah. And the medical marijuana people out there were, you know, cheering from the rooftops. This sounded like great news. And if it was true, then it would have been great. Would have been a step in the right direction, a small step, but a step nonetheless. But it's not true. And they have gone ahead and they've continued the raids. And what is amazing to me is that anybody could look at this and be shocked. The rest of the story here is that agents carry large plastic containers of marijuana plants out of Emma Lynn's California Cannabis Clinic in San Francisco. A small crowd of protesters formed a gauntlet outside the door, booing the agents and chanting, "Our medicine is marijuana. Listen to Obama." See, Obama's still the good guy, right, to these people. Just, hey, you guys, you aren't listening to your boss. You need to go and listen to what Obama says, because, you know, he said that this wasn't going to happen anymore. DEA spokesbureaucrat told CBS 5 the documents regarding the raid are sealed, so the DEA was not able to give any details. One of the special agents wrote in a statement that based on our investigation, we believe there are not only violations of federal law, but state law as well. And again, that was their qualifier. So the DEA believes the state law has been broken, but the media can't see the raid documents, so they don't have any idea what the allegations are.
And isn't it the media's job to keep the police honest? I mean, isn't that the whole idea of the founding documents here?
But that doesn't work.
Freedom of the press.
It doesn't work that way because the media that is too questioning of the police will not get interviews from the police in the future, and so therefore they have to kind of pussyfoot around and not really ask any hardball questions. Media members that actually do hardball reports against the police, exposing them, are targeted by the police. Yes. Remember the story out of Miami? The guy, they pulled him over and they made his life a living hell. He was a reporter who was doing undercover exposés on the police. They went after that guy and the station fired him. Because they didn't, this guy may be a great reporter, and he was. Because it was a great report. He found out, essentially, that these government bureaucrats were just awful and corrupt, and they weren't taking people's complaints, and they don't even have complaint forms and all this stuff. He found all this information. Great reporter. But he was too good. Because he was getting a real story against the most criminal gang in existence, and that is the government. So that couldn't be allowed to stand. Anyway, Emma Lynn's has a provisional permit from the city, according to spokesperson for the San Francisco Department of Public Health.
Before you go on,
yes, sir.
Now, California is one of 13 states, hopefully 14 soon. New Hampshire has passed the medical marijuana out of the House, and maybe it'll go somewhere. If not, it's still a great thing that it just went out of the House.
The governor pledged to veto it, as I recall.
Yeah, but either way, so they, there's 13 states out there. How come we only ever hear about raids on dispensaries in California? Are there not dispensaries in these other 12 states? How do medical marijuana people get their medical marijuana in the other 12 states?
I wonder if it's just not news in the other states. California just seems to be, maybe that's just the place where it gets reported on the most readily.
Maybe there aren't dispensaries elsewhere. Maybe you just get the little license card as a marijuana user, and then you have the ability to grow your own, or if you get caught with it, then you're not arraigned on charges. I don't know. That's a great question. If you're out there in one of those 12 other states.
That would be really good, actually. A smart way to do it, because then you're a small fish, and the DEA is less likely to want to.
Well, yeah, because they want to go after these stores because it's an easy centralized location. They can go and hit the store, and in many cases, not even make any arrests, just go in, steal the drugs, steal the cash, and then wait for them to reset up shop somewhere else, give them a few months to get settled in, and do it all over again.
Well, reading one of Matt Simon's articles from NH Common Sense, you know, he said that there were a lot of problems. Basically, California was the first medical marijuana state, and there were a lot of problems with their medical marijuana law. Prop 9, was that what it was? Previously? I don't know.
I don't know. But 215?
something like that. And then, you know, Canada has had it for quite some time to the point, and the government was growing the pot there, and that was terrible. So essentially, some of these other states have learned from California's mistakes, he had said, and I would assume Canada's also, and they have better laws, and I don't know how those laws work.
Brendan Hallett, the spokesperson for the public health department says there's an indication that the club is in good standing with city laws because they have a permit from the city to be a marijuana facility. The pot club's attorney said they're in compliance with state and local laws. He said that they're well respected and have a good reputation in the medical marijuana community, who added the business has never been raided in its 5-year existence. Hanlon said the DEA would not tell him why the club was being busted, saying they're going to have a huge fight on their hands if they're arbitrarily busting clubs that are in compliance with state and local laws. Spokespersons for Americans for Safe Access, a national advocacy group for medical marijuana issues, wants the attorney general to explain the DEA's actions. We're shocked that after the attorney general had made repeated statements that raids on California medical cannabis dispensaries would be suspended, that we're seeing a continuation of that policy. But I am, for one, not shocked one iota. I mean, I had my fingers crossed. I had hoped that they'd meant it when they said it, but I can't say I'm shocked that they broke their promise here. And so when the DEA is claiming that, oh, well, yes, we have reason to believe that there are violations of state law here, does that mean that the DEA can go in and raid your business, your marijuana business, if you violate any state law? Because that's the way it sounds like to me.
There are a lot of them.
Right. If that's the case, then, yeah, it's probably true that they were, you know, the signage on their building was a little too large.
Or probably 2 inches to the right of where it was designated it was supposed to be or something.
Or they didn't have a no smoking sign inside. Or, you know, there could be some tiny little law, some piece of regulation that nobody knows about. Of course, most people don't know about most laws.
Maybe the handicap markers on their parking spaces were a little faded.
Could be
anything. Up to code.
Yeah, could be anything.
Why in the world is the DEA enforcing laws that aren't federal laws?
Well, there's another actual related story to this from The Guardian in the UK that points out, let's see, advocates for marijuana decriminalization are skeptical, saying that it's disturbing because despite the DEA's vague claims about violations of state laws, they apparently made no effort to contact the local authorities who monitor and license medical marijuana providers. For an agency that for 8 years said it couldn't care less about state law, to suddenly justify raids as an effort to uphold state law simply doesn't pass the smell test. But they're saying that only because that was the promise of the Attorney General. The Attorney General's promise was, we're not going to raid anymore in California or anywhere else unless there are violations of state law. So it sounds to me like all they have to do is find one state law violation, and bam, the DEA's back in, kicking in doors again, just like it used to. They only took a week off. 800-259-9231, that's the SACL CAI toll-free line, but that's okay. We can just use the system to change the system, and then, doesn't look like that's working too well. The system doesn't want to change, even once the changes have been put through. They don't want to stop being violent.
Government officials like to think they know better than the rest of us. They tell us what we can buy and when we can buy it. Everything from guns and booze to cold medicine and cigarettes. Now they've gone even farther. Cities across the country are now trying to tax and ban bottled water. That's right. Simple, no alcohol, no caffeine, no calorie bottled water. They say it's wasteful and buying it is, quote, stupid. But who are they to decide? If politicians decide you shouldn't even be able to buy bottled water, what's next? Visit us at enjoybottledwater.org and sign the petition to keep the nanny state out of our water bottles.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.